Start, could you start recording?
Yes, yes, it's recording.
Okay.
Hi, everybody. It's Movie the Podcast.
I don't do this shit for free. All right.
Yeah, I know.
We only do one take. Make sure we're recording.
Speaking of one take, I think we'll have something to talk about with this movie.
Are you getting paid the whole time?
Yeah, who's paying you?
Yeah, I haven't set up. I haven't monetized. You guys just don't know.
Oh shit!
There's some kind of weird super PAC funding Alex podcast appearance.
I'm getting points on the back end. It's Movie the Podcast / I can't think of anything good.
Federal Food Handlers Union. What is the grocery union called?
What is it? I forget. Something like that.
Alec is getting funded by like Raytheon.
Yeah, sponsored by Boeing.
Lockheed Martin. Oh shit!
Yeah, Lockheed Martin's right up the street from me. I should go up there.
Yeah,
that is true. Anyway, hi everybody. It's Movie the Podcast. We are at Sans Gogs today because he's busy with Labor Day stuff, whatever the hell that means. I mean, I don't. Like, how can you be busy on Labor Day? He's probably not doing anything.
Maybe he's doing like a Freaky Friday where he's actually doing labor because it's Labor Day. Maybe he's out like making a wall or pouring a driveway or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. We watched, I think this is the first Studio Ghibli movie that we've ever done on the show, right? I feel like we might have talked about a few.
Yeah, we talked about a few. I think I've talked about Kiki's Delivery Service a few times. And you talked about Nausicaa.
Nausicaa.
You went on like a kick for a little bit.
Yeah, I watched a handful of Studio Ghibli, because I haven't seen any until this year. Last year, I guess.
Yeah.
So we watched Porco Rosso, the kind of under, like, I feel like out of all their movies, this one isn't really talked about that much.
I think there might be a good reason for that.
Really? Well, this is gonna be an interesting show.
We'll get into it. Yeah.
Also, the something I didn't realize. I'm glad I did though. I downloaded on the Plex the American dub, and I didn't check the credits, but pretty sure Michael Keaton is the lead voice. Like,
yeah, they had an American guy play the European part, and they had a European guy play the American part.
Yeah, Michael Keaton was the lead voice. Brad Garrett was like the lead pirate.
Carrie Elwes was the cowboy.
I thought that the lead pirate was Bender.
John DiMaggio. It's a very similar.
Very similar voice. Yeah.
Did you hear Rob Paulsen's voice pop up at the very end for like 2 seconds?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
But I do like these. Again, like just Studio Ghibli is a cultural blind spot for me. But I do like the fact that. When they do I think they went and like redubbed like a ton of these, pretty much all of them. And I think they all have like all-star casts like this, which is kind of neat. Like, I don't know. I think
after they released Mononoke in the theater, cause that had like Billy Bob Thornton and a couple other people. Yeah. I think they kind of went back and re-released a bunch of them with famous people.
Yeah. There's actually a few of their earlier movies that are like, I don't know. It's funny in like anime circles, right? People like, oh, you know, you can't watch the dub. You can't watch the dub. Yeah. And that sentiment comes from back
in the Venus Wars
days. And like the dubs used to be real bad, and not just like no slight to like voice actors, but they were like recorded really bad too. Like
They were like recorded like piecemeal and stitched together. You know what I mean?
100%.
So like nobody's like bouncing off anybody. It's just everybody's just reading their lines. It's kind of, it's like an old like a Dreamcast like sports game.
Well, it specifically is exactly that, right? Like that's why a lot of like old video games, like that's why that you have that kind of classic fucking Resident Evil voice acting, because it's literally done like, we got to do this in one take, we don't have the equipment to do it, we're just gonna fucking do it, get it done, and it's finished. Like, and that's kind of how the old anime was. And I mean,
to Iserman with the goal. Like, yeah,
I mean, I'm probably the biggest anime fan here. And I mean, I used to be of that mindset of like, oh, you can't watch the dub. But now I've changed my mind completely.
You know what? Do you think maybe Cowboy Bebop changed that? Like, Is that the on Cartoon still, Network is really
that's
good.
That's still a little too late. I mean, people still love the Japanese version. I mean, people still love the Japanese version of everything.
Yeah,
but I mean, the voice cast of Cowboy Bebop was phenomenal. I think the original, not the one you can watch on Netflix now, but the original voice cast of Neon Genesis Evangelion, it opened a lot of people's eyes because that was really, really good.
You know what fucked me up was when they re-released the 4K scan of Akira and they redubbed the English and like...
Oh, no!
In the original...
Oh, that's iconic!
He called it's Kaneda, like they mispronounce everybody's names and shit.
And that's what's his name, the guy that was Liquid Snake and
Cam Clark,
and Leo from the Ninja Turtles. Like,
yeah,
that guy
redubbed it and like made the name more accurate, but it sucks. Like, I don't like it.
Fuck that. I want the original. Anyway, yeah. We'll get into Porco. I'm sorry, I think I'm.
Oh my god,
Porco Rosso momentarily. What did y'all watch this week? This Labor Day week. Sean.
Oh my god.
Sean first.
Because I never watch anything. But I did watch the original Crow again, which is a rare movie that gets better every time I see it somehow.
So good. It really is.
So fucking cool. Like, I love it. Like, I will not stand slander of it. And I used to just think it was like Hot Pockets. That would be nice. But Hot Topic for like edgy dudes, but the movie's not like edgy at all going back and look at it. It's actually like very sweet. You know what I mean? He's just like Eric Draven's not really edgy, is he? He's just kind of a little gay, you know what I mean? Like, it's that kind of aesthetic.
Oh, and I think I sent you that video on YouTube. This YouTuber does a whole like Crow retrospective, and it's really good. She does an amazing job.
Alec, but I don't know if TJ brought this up when he talked about the new Crow, but in that video he's talking about, we almost had a Crow movie where DMX was like a rapper whose family got killed or something, and he was going to be the Crow, bad guy was going
to
be Eminem.
I would love to have seen that.
Oh, yeah, all the way in.
Yeah, that would have been amazing.
But
what I was saying about the Crow, and something she brings up that I never really, like, consciously thought of, but, like, the comic book has a lot of, like, the comic book is born of, like, literally, like, a tragedy and a lot of sadness. And I feel like the Eric Draven in Brandon Lee's performance also has like a lot of like sadness with him. It's such a great performance. I mean, we did an episode on it. Go back and listen to it. Because what Sean's talking about, I feel like, I don't know if it came across on the show because that show was like 10 years ago, but I remember us talking about it analog and Sean saying the same thing. Like, I remember liking it, but I have a bad feeling that like revisiting it, I'm not going to like it anymore. And I think on that episode, everybody was like, man, this movie is just so fucking good. And like we've said 1,000 times, like, it's such a shame with Brandon Lee, cause that guy had such a bright future ahead of him. And, you know, another great, classic movie, the podcast, episode and movie Showdown in Little Tokyo. I mean, goddamn,
very different performances. It's funny though, because I never read the comic, because when it was out, like, I probably wasn't old enough to be in comic book stores, or they didn't have as many when it was out, but so I would see like the graphic novel, like Walden Books, and it was a lot of that pen and ink kind of outlaw shit. I'm like, oh, this isn't for me as a like an 11-year-old kid or 12 or whenever I saw it the first time. You know what I mean?
I have my copy signed by James Obar. Look at that.
Yeah. But like it is a very of its time kind of art style, just like the movie is a very of it. Like, that movie cannot be made now. You know what I mean? Like, it's so like you can't divorce it from the time period and that aesthetic. And I don't know. I have no interest in seeing the new one. But
also, like, I feel like, Sean, I think, and Alec too, I think both of us, we've all talked about this, but like, I read this comic when I was kind of too young to really grasp like what it was going for. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I enjoyed it, but like, I mean, this signature from James Obar is from 1994.
Right.
So, I mean, I enjoyed that's it, but I don't think 30, I really
30 years ago, motherfucker.
Yeah.
Oh my god. I read it and I enjoyed it, but I don't think I really appreciated it until I was much, much older.
Well, the comic book looked like the back of a metalhead kid's notebook, like that one metalhead kid in school that could draw 100%. Really well.
Well, also, like, James Obar, like, I gotta give this man a lot
of credit. Did he draw that whole thing with a fucking ballpoint pen? Like,
well, no, but he also, well, he drew it. Well, the other, he 100% self-published this in the fucking 80s. Like, he literally was like putting this out on his own, and it wasn't until I think halfway through the series that Comico actually picked it up and helped him put it out. But if you ever look at this book and the art, especially now, the art's very like inconsistent. And it's because like he was doing it on his own. He'd never drawn anything before. He did a lot of like tracing and a lot of like, he did a lot of like heavy referencing, but it works really well. And it kind of makes its own like very interesting art style. I don't know. It's a book that I appreciate more and more as just like the movie.
And then I think in the last bit of pro talk, I want to say when Kevin Eastman, you remember when he went nuts and started Tundra and just was paying all the artists like billions of dollars?
I remember when he was married to Julie Strain.
Yeah, R.I.P. But like I think they ended up getting the rights to it, and then it went to Kitchen Sink when they like folded. But I think that's what kept the book going. Anyway, talking about things you can actually make now out of old things. I watched the entire Terminator Zero thing over the last like day.
You watched the Terminator anime.
I did.
It's good.
And it rules. I fucking love it. And I was like, for sure, that's a dead property at this point.
Well, you love the Terminator. I think I do love the through line through all the Terminator movies that we've watched, and we've watched, Christ, have we watched every one of the sequels?
We've watched or reviewed all of them, because I think you and I and Gogs both watched Genesis on, like, watched it like 2 days in 1 week, because you and him watched it, and then he insisted that I watch it with him.
But you love the Terminator franchise. We all do. But I feel like you have a very deep love for that franchise. And I feel like your heartbreak through all of the episodes and sequels that we watched.
Fucking, I think it's the only time I've really raised my voice was when we did Salvation, because that movie sucks, dick.
It was so, it's somehow worse than Genesis, and I don't know how.
It is the worst Terminator movie. Like, and even worse than the one with Juanita Connor, the most recent one, I forget what that one's called. And the one with fucking Emilia Clarke and Sam Worthington.
That's Genesis.
No, is that Genesis?
Yeah.
Sam Worthington's in Salvation.
Sam Worthington's in Salvation. Emilia Clarke is in Genesis. And the Salvation, one you're thinking.
The Christian Bale. Salvation's the Christian Bale one.
And then the one after the Genesis was Dark Fate, which is also really fucking bad.
Right.
Because that's the one with. That has Sarah Connor again.
Yes. And also the girl from Blade Runner and the San Junipero episode of Black Mirror. An actress I really like. I forget her name.
Oh, but... the one that played the hooker in Blade Runner? Hooker?
And she's also in the Speak No Evil remake. It's like that she's such a good actress, but it's just like trash after trash.
So this, I don't want to like spoil any of it, but... It does have the typical, like, we got to send shit back in time because that's a Terminator. But instead of it just being, like, Skynet and humans chasing their tails, they introduce a third party into it. So, like, the setup for Terminator, the first two at least, and I guess the third one, is that, like, humanity must survive. And Skynet has decided humanity can't survive because it's a threat. That's it. And then everything else bounces off of that. Well, they add a third AI into this, and the question is... why should humanity survive? And that's kind of what drives it.
I like that.
Is like the philosophical question of, well, why? So now
that's a very Alan Moore thing to throw into that story.
Yeah. And it's so you've got like, it makes such a difference to have like a third party who's kind of antagonistic to the other. So it's three different, like it's the humans, it's this other AI, and it's Skynet all kind of like jockeying against each other. And you're never really sure, like, kind of what allegiances are. It hits a lot of the Terminator beats. There's the soldier sent from the future. They do a nice job, like, kind of, like, they have an episode where they touch on the paradox for a little bit, but they talk about it for, like, 5 minutes, and then they just leave it alone. Because it's, like, you know, it's the fucking Looper thing. It's like, we'll be here all day drawing fucking charts and all this other bullshit. But, like, it's really a human drama, and, like, it's super violent. It reminds me a lot of, It's a Studio IG. They did a Ghost in the Shell. and oh, I forget what else.
Fucking classic. Oh, they made a ton of shit. Yeah, they're.
But it also reminded me a lot of Jinro the Wolf Brigade.
Also, really well animated, like really cool, like anime. Yeah.
I can't recommend the movie.
Not very good, but the anime is excellent.
It starts a little bit slow because they got to introduce like the human characters into it. But once it gets rolling, and it is like a very kind of Japanese take on Terminator. You know what I'm saying? Like, it doesn't like, it's not just like a thing where it apes the aesthetic, but doesn't really do anything with it. It's very like Ghost in the Shell, that kind of thing. I think
now I'm really pumped to watch it. It's crazy how good, like, has Netflix
just make everything a fucking cartoon, dog. If your shit sucks,
an anime adaptation, Castlevania was a fucking banger. Cyberpunk was a fucking banger. This apparently is a banger. Like, keep making animes, Netflix. Like, goddamn. Yeah,
it's 8 episodes and it ends like totally ambiguously.
So hopefully there's more.
Yeah, but no, I love it. Can't recommend it enough. If you're like, look at Spider-Man. If your property sucks and you don't know what to do with it, just make a fucking cartoon. Make it small and spend a bunch of money, or don't spend a bunch of money and just let everybody kind of do what they want.
Hell yeah. Oh, I'm excited to watch it now. Yeah. I mean, I was a little nervous when I saw the trailer. I was like, I don't know.
I hadn't even heard of it, like, which is weird.
I'm too online. Oh, okay, But yeah, no. Awesome. I'm looking forward to watching it.
What's up with Japan calling everything Zero?
They do love Zero.
Yeah, like that Coke that I can't remember the name of.
Remember when DC Comics would have issue zero?
Oh yeah.
Thanks, Valiant. I think
that was a very 90s thing, was the zero issue.
Yeah.
It was
half.
No. Dude, I remember Valiant Comics. Raw Zero. I used to think that Raw Zero was the most fucking groundbreaking comic I've ever read.
Was that one of the ones where you had to get the fucking coupon out of like Harbinger or something?
Possibly when you bought it on the shelf, but I bought it resale or whatever. But that comic, right, was they laid out literally what happens in their entire universe in that fucking issue, and I was like, my mind was blown. I was like, this is amazing.
You know what's funny? Going back to read those, like the first run of Valiant, like it's not bad because it's like Shooter being a psycho and demanding everything linked together. It's just like that.
Yeah.
I didn't appreciate that David Lapham by way of Jim Shooter art style back then, because it was like too like muddy like and plain.
All the art was bad in those books.
But it all had that you could pick up. I was like, oh, this is a Valiant comic. Like, you knew just by how it was drawn. But they're actually like good stories. I don't hate them.
Yeah, I should go back. Well, it's funny because like I was almost going to say recently, but it was probably 20 years ago now. They relaunched Valiant again, and it's supposed to be like really good. And it's
it wasn't bad.
Not getting around to reading that.
Yeah, but also, then they sold all the rights to everything, and it turned into a big fucking mess.
David Lapham, Maryland native, first of all. Yeah. And Stray Bullets, one of the best comic books ever written.
Stray Bullets rules. His Ultimate Warrior comic is a lot of fun.
I've never read it, but
Dave Lapham. No, it sucks, but it's funny. It's funny that, like,
it's fucking amazing.
Because I want to say Barry Windsor Smith or Steve Ditko or somebody also did those WWF comics, because Shooter was big on getting those guys paid.
Oh, well, good for him. I mean, though he's one of these guys now that's like, I think comic books don't need to have an agenda. I'm like, oh, shut
he is a million years old. Yeah.
Shut up.
How many times are you going to learn this lesson, old man? Anyway, like, that's comics.
Anything else, Sean?
Nah, Alec.
I watched 4 things.
Hell yeah.
First one is Reno 911 Miami Beach.
Hell yeah, that movie rules.
That's the first one, right? That's not the more recent one.
Yeah, that's the first one.
They've done
recently since then that are okay, but this
I found on my trip to Casa de Alec that his wife loves that fucking show. I had no idea.
Oh yeah. Reno is great.
Yep, Reno is fantastic. But that movie fucking slaps, and everybody's so funny at it.
Is that the one where Dangle gets his watch caught in Weigel's pubes? Is that that movie?
Yes.
Okay.
And it turns out at the end that Harry actually does have a rich father, and it's Pee Wee Herman.
Oh, yeah.
And he bought him a plane for his record release party. Oh, that movie's so good. It's so funny. Then a couple of movies I hadn't watched. or haven't seen multiple times. We watched Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind.
Hell yeah.
What'd you think of that? I love that movie. So
I thought it was really good.
Yeah.
I also thought, I thought the concept was really good. It's kind of clunky.
Well, that's Michelle Gondry in a nutshell.
Like overall, I really liked it. I enjoyed it a lot. That's but it's really the acting and the direction are both fairly clunky in some spots, especially with all people who I know are like literally eight top to bottom phenomenal actors. It's weird to have that like clunkiness and like kind of, I don't know. Unless that's just the way he wanted it directed.
Yeah.
I think it's a little bit, that's also a Charlie Kaufman script. Yeah. So, I mean, that kind of, I feel like that's kind of the tone that he always kind of goes
for. Well, Alec, have you seen Be Kind Rewind, same director?
I saw that in a theater. I think I won tickets to like bar trivia or something. I haven't seen it since, but I remember loving that movie.
I do too. Yeah. It's also got that same kind of jank to it.
That movie was not well received, and I will never understand why. It's like, it was a fun movie.
Yeah, I feel like we got tickets from winning something.
Probably. We used to get tickets to win tickets all the time because we dominated ass.
That's also how we saw a pre-screening of Drillbit Taylor.
Yeah. Oh my god! And you know, I didn't we see I we saw Forgetting Sarah Marshall early too.
I believe so. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I liked Eternal Sunshine. I thought it was really good.
Glad you liked it.
His like, although I don't know if it was supposed to be like a big mystery through the whole thing that like the whole movie's already happened at the end and the beginning is the end. But like, it's very obvious. I don't know if back then it was like a big surprise. And it's just like, I've seen so many like movies where they try to subvert expectations now that I immediately realized what was happening with that. Or if it was intentional that you were supposed to get it right away and kind of.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if like it's like a big reveal. I mean, I don't know. It's like Charlie Kaufman stuff. It's vibes based, right? Like there's something about that movie. Like, I don't know. I really love that movie. And I love the like Michelle Gondry, like, where the fuck are you? Like, what happened to you? You've gone away. But like, there's some sequences in that movie that I really love. Like when he's in the sink with her and it's like a huge sink and they're like little and all that's practical. Like there's that scene where everyone's disappearing in the bookstore with the lights. Like that's all done practically, like no like special effects really. That's all just done in camera. And it's like, he has such an interesting visual style. And you know, before this, like all the Charlie Kaufman stuff was Spike Jones directing it. He also has a really interesting visual style. And I feel like, I don't know, like those two directors, and again, like I don't get me started on Charlie Kaufman. Like I think the guy is maybe the greatest screenwriter to ever live, but like I don't know, there's something about his films that just like resonate really hard with me. Like I don't know, like Jim Carrey.
How
I think
have we not watched Adaptation at some point?
Of that movie, I think Jim Carrey's first line. Just to end my thought, Jim Carrey's first line in that movie is. Is why do I fall in love with everyone that's nice to me? And I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Oh no. Oh no. Like, no, no. They fucked me up. Oh my God. Like that is me, man. I relate to that character a little too much. Not so much in the abusive relationship part of the movie, but definitely in the beginning. Also
Michelle Gondry directed that fucking Green Hornet movie. Did you know that?
Yeah. Somehow, it kind of killed his career. Like, he hadn't really done much after that. Also, what's her name? I've always had like a crush on Kate Winslet. She's never looked hotter as like the fucking alt girl in this movie. Like,
she's got the uniform.
It speaks to my type. Yes. Anyway, anything else? You got two more.
One, Identity Thief. I stayed on my Melissa McCarthy kick.
And oh, well, kinda, yeah.
That movie kind of sucks. between her and like Jason Bateman, like I love Jason Bateman. He's great in everything, but this movie's kind of Identity Thief kind of sucks. Like you don't care about anybody in the movie. He gets his identity stolen by her, and he goes across to make the deal with the police because she's like breaking laws in his name too. And makes a deal with the police that he'll go across country and bring her back to Denver from Florida. And like, it'll clear his name. That's like
a midnight run deal.
And it's just like, on what planet is that? And the cops are like, okay, sure.
You're white.
It just doesn't make any sense. And it's not very funny. It has some funny parts in it, but it's not funny.
Yeah. She kind of ran out of gas like pretty quickly. I heard the heat's good though.
We talked about that last week.
The heat slaps.
She ran into the kind of like Kevin Hart, Will Ferrell thing where like they were striking while the iron was hot, but it was just like pump the brakes just a little bit. Because she is funny. Like I think she's good.
Identity Thief, I would pass on that. Lower tier McCarthy.
lesser McCarthy.
The last movie we watched was it came out this year. I just happened to see it on the Plex, and we watched it, and I loved it. It's got Thelma.
Oh, I meant to watch. Man, I've been meaning to. I'm glad you watched.
Is that the motor scooter movie? That.
No, it's like an old lady action movie.
She's not on a motor scooter on the cover though.
Oh, she is. I'm sorry. This soju is catching up to me. I haven't eaten since like 9 this morning.
She is. Okay. it's really good. She gets scammed that the guys ever tell you the story about how his grandmother got scammed?
We brought it up during the beekeeper, I believe.
The beekeeper,
yeah.
That's very similar to that plot.
So it's the same thing. Like somebody called this old lady, said, "It's me, it's your grandson, I'm in trouble, I need $10,000, or they're gonna blah blah blah. Like to get out of jail or whatever." So she sends the money. And then she talks to him like a little bit later and realizes he's fine. And then on her own decides she's going back after to get her money back. Even though everybody's just telling her she's crazy, just let it go. Like it's only money. She's like, yeah, but it's my money. I want my money back. So she goes on this, gets this like scheme together to get her money back because she has the P.O. box where she sent the money to because it wasn't electronic. It was like through regular mail. She goes around the town and recruits people to try to help her to get her money back from these scammers. And it's really funny and it's really sweet. The old lady's been in a ton of stuff. Like she's like legit like 90. Parker Posey and Clark Gregg play her parents or her no, her kid. Parker Posey her is her parents, kid.
Like, grossly miscast.
Clark Gregg is her kid's husband, maybe.
Parker Posey could get it though. Just
Richard like Brown.
Clark Gregg, underrated actor. I always really like him when he shows up.
Richard Roundtree is in it. And he's really good.
Shit. Yeah, I thought he was dead too.
He's in it. He lives in a nursing home and she goes to borrow his scooter so she can get across town because she doesn't have a car anymore and she doesn't know how to do Uber or anything like that. And taxis aren't a thing anymore. She goes to borrow his electric scooter to get across town to exact her revenge and get her money back. It's fun. It's a lot of fun overall. It's also got some like sad moments. It deals with like loss and like she's like talking to her grandkid and he's like, well, what about this person? She's like, all my friends are dead, man. Like I don't have anybody.
Just like that song
or that book about the dinosaurs. But I it's really good. It's only an hour and a half, I think, and like I found it to be a lot of fun.
When you first started describing the plot, I thought it was going to be like, hey, I'm in prison in Mexico. And she's like, fuck that. I'm coming to get you. And then starts like an international incident.
Oh, so it's like the last Rambo movie. Oh, which man, was that good. Movie, everybody that hated
that movie. Fucking rules.
It was so good. That movie fucking rocks.
Who doesn't like that movie?
Remember, it got it, people hated it. I thought it was awesome.
We liked it.
Yeah, we loved it. Are you kidding?
It might be the best one because it's only like an hour and 25 minutes long.
It was so good.
And he killed about a million members of the cartel.
Yeah. The body count in the last two Rambo movies is egregious.
We reviewed Rambo, right? I think we did. John Rambo, or I think it was just called Rambo.
Yeah, we reviewed the one where he's in the Malaysian jungle.
Yeah.
And we reviewed the third one, because that we were talking about sucked. This is dedicated to the Mubadin.
We did First Blood, didn't we? The first one?
I don't know if we reviewed it or just watched it.
And we all I love that movie, but
that's a great movie. So I'm glad you watched Thelma. I like when I sneak in these little ones on the Plex, and I always hope somebody watches them, because I it happens every time. So I hear about a movie and then I put it on the Plex, and then I'm distracted, and then it gets pushed out of the recently added thing on the Plex, and I never watch it.
Yeah, I had never even heard of it until I Daisy said she had seen like TikTok clips from it.
That's what I heard.
I hadn't even heard of it. I literally just saw the poster thing on the Plex.
Yeah.
And it said 2024. I was like, oh, what's that?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you liked it. I look forward to checking it out.
Before I yield my time, RIP Psycho Sid.
I know, man. That's a bummer. I always liked Sid.
63 years old, I think.
These wrestlers, man,
lobbying hard to get into the Hall of Fame.
How is he not already? Like, yeah, Psycho I mean, Coco Sid,
B wears
like,
in there for Christ's sake.
I mean, Psycho Sid, huge star in both WCW and fucking WWF. Like,
yeah, man, multiple time world champion in both.
Fuck the WWF.
And some of the funniest promos ever.
Oh yeah, he had the one where we're live now, kid.
Like, how do we do it again? We're live, pal.
John, didn't you tell me he was like the greatest softball player to ever live?
He was
live
just really into softball. Like, he blew off pay-per-views and shit to go play softball, which based, like, fuck work. He's a labor hero more than anything else.
Yeah. Also, Sid Vicious has one of the grossest wrestling injuries I've ever seen, which
I can't
even look at any. Like
why was he even doing that?
I remember seeing that live before they like edited or cut, and I was like,
he's like coming off like the first turnbuckle in jean shorts and like shoes for cruise boots.
It's so gross. Google Sid Vicious foot injury or like, oh, it's disgusting.
Also, like, shout out to the original soup hair guy. Like,
oh yeah, he definitely
he walks
so
Dolph Ziggler can run.
Also, like, I know we say this about wrestlers all the time, but like, you forget how fucking huge some of these guys are. Like, that guy was massive.
Yeah, and he stabbed Arn Anderson with scissors. He had a colorful life.
It's true. He did stab Arn Anderson with scissors.
Man, he probably deserved it.
I'm sure. Without a doubt. Yeah. But then Arn Anderson went on to cut the greatest promo. Remember that thing he cut
the
like
gun?
Four years ago when he's like, I'm going to get my Glock and shoot your ass?
Arn Anderson seems like he says like very interesting things about Vietnamese people when he drinks. Oh. He's got that kind of look to him.
Also, Sean warped my view of reality when he told me Ole Anderson and Arn Anderson weren't related. I was like,
nope.
What?
Fuck me up. You'd be like, find out the Steiner brothers weren't related, although they definitely are.
Anything else, Mr. Allen?
Nope, that's it. PJ.
I didn't watch any I wasn't gonna bring it up, but Gogs is in here. I watched Alien, the original Alien.
Oh, have you ever seen it before?
I've only about 30 times. Here's an interesting perspective that I've watched that movie a ton. That movie used to come on WNUV at like 9 o'clock night all the time. Like, I've watched like TV cuts of that movie. I love Alien. When I was a kid, I loved Aliens more, but as an adult, I think Alien is a better movie.
That's correct.
The reason I watched it is because I hated fucking Romulus so much. And I needed to go
back. Shout out to Alien Remus, though.
I went I went back to watch it after I saw it. I sent this video to Sean, but I follow the Letterboxd TikTok, which is a great TikTok. But they interview people on red carpets and they ask them, what's your top five Letterboxd? Because that's a thing you can do on Letterboxd. You can make your top five movies or whatever. Fucking Ridley Scott names his own movie. He names right, Alien. No, I'm sorry, dude. You can't do that.
Like, sure you can.
The reason that I bring this up, one, it's hilarious. And two,
name the top five greatest rappers of all time.
Dylon.
He
spit hot fire.
So the reason I bring up...
I'm sorry, TJ.
Go ahead.
Dylon blames Chappelle for like ruining his career because of that sketch.
Dylon's a real guy?
Please. That's the only reason anybody knows him.
That show, was it the band?
Making the band.
I had no idea. I thought it was just a fucking skit.
No, it's a real show. Making the band. And like all those people were like imitations of the real rappers that they made.
Look up
the band and look up their songs.
Awful.
They had one like smash hit and it was awful. But it was a real MTV show. Like Dylon was a real rapper.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and he blamed Chappelle for like ruining his career because nobody would take him seriously after Chappelle imitated him.
That's fucking hilarious. I didn't know that. But that's absolutely hysterical. But no, what I was saying was the reason I bring up his Letterboxd thing, other than the fact that it's hilarious to pick your own movie as one of your top five favorite movies, is he said that Alien, because one of his other favorite movies was 2001, and he said that Alien was highly influenced by 2001 because of HAL. And I never really put that together because Mother is very HAL-like in that movie. And it kind of blew my mind. I was like, I've never really put that together.
It's also, because they don't spend that much time with Mother and there's so much other shit going on that you don't probably pick up on it. You know what
but
I mean?
But also, Alec, have you seen Alien? I know we've talked about this.
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it like once.
The final sequence when she shoots the alien into space and it explodes is very much like the fucking Jupiter scene in 2001. It's like very similar. Like it looks visually. I'm not saying thematically. It's
no, similar, I know. Yeah, obviously.
But I mean, like visually, like it looks very similar. I'm like, oh wow. Anyway, Alien's fucking great. Like it's just a classic fucking movie. Also, did you know the scene where they encounter the space jockey in the spaceship? Mm-hmm. It's a fantastic scene. It looks amazing. So in order to make that look more massive, those are children in the spacesuits. That's not the actors.
I did know that. Yeah.
I did not know that. And then watching it, it's funny because, you know, kids are kind of awkward. Like, they kind of do move kind of stupid. And it's like, I never paid any attention to that.
Well, because you're just like, oh, they're in a clunky spacesuit or whatever. It doesn't register.
Like, this is the kind of shit that, like, I miss about movies today, right? Because nowadays, like, oh, just CGI and make the fucking space jockey 8,000.
And the later will explain what it is and ruin it.
Yeah. And it's like, he fucking was like, well, we need to make this set look huge. How do I make the set look huge? I know. I'll make these actors 3 feet tall. It's genius. And that movie is so good. It's so full of character. And like,
we bring it up and I'll never stop bringing up that fucking, the cafeteria
scene is so good. All the characters in that movie are so fleshed out and so much better than what
in
we
5 minutes. And then you don't have to know anything else
about their deaths.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Like,
also,
that movie
is a
masterpiece.
Besides Hal dying, I think Ash trying to kill Ripley with a magazine is like the most horrifying thing I've ever seen in my life.
Also, like, shout out to Ian Holm. Like, his performance in that movie. Everybody's performance is great.
Yeah, thanks for coming back, Ian Holm. We missed you.
It's not his fault. But at least as far as I know. Unless they like consulted him via Ouija board or whatever. But Alien's great. I mean, you know. I know I'm going out on a limb here, but like there's a reason why it's such a like people talk about it. It's such a great movie. It's made so well. Like I'm not gonna say that it's as good as 2001, but like you can tell the care that Ridley Scott put into that movie.
It's crazy that movie came out before 1980, and it still looks that good.
It's insane. It looks great. The acting's great. The tension is great. Like obviously all the Geiger designs are phenomenal.
I think what might actually help now is that we're so far removed from that kind of CR technology that it, like, you remember watching it when you were like a little bit, you know, a teenager or whatever, and it looked kind of goofy because we're just getting into like more high definition type things. Now it's like, oh,
great.
It's like,
no pun intended.
It feels alien. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because it's like,
and I love retro futurism stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I just think like that's just the best. Anyway, it's a great movie. The other thing I watched real quick is I watched two short films available on YouTube. I cannot recommend these anymore. The first one I'm going to talk about is literally 23 minutes long. You're going to jerk off longer than you watch this fucking movie. Well,
nope.
Sometimes.
Jesus.
It's called The Chair, and I loved it. The guy's name is... Shit, I should have kept it. I think it's Cullen Baker. This guy, I recognized his name because he is in... So all these available... Or all these two movies I'm going to talk about are available on his YouTube channel called That's a Bad Idea. Him and his friend do comedy sketches on that channel, but he makes these short horror films, and they are so fucking good. Okay, The Chair is, again, this 23-minute film. It's very simple. This guy, he picks up a chair, like, off the side of the road. He brings it home. His girlfriend's like, what the fuck is that? And then just chaos ensues for 23 minutes, and I loved it. I thought it was great. I thought the atmosphere was great. I thought the acting was great. I thought the way it was shot was amazing. And again, to do this on like, I guarantee they probably spent like $1,000 on this, and it looks better than like every Blumhouse movie. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I loved it. Thought it was great. The reason I watched The Chair, that was his first movie that got a lot of hubbub amongst like horror people. He just put out this movie that's a little bit longer. It's 53 minutes long. It's called Milk and Cereal. And cereal is spelled like serial killer. It's a found footage movie. And already I was like, I don't know. I kind of hate found footage movies. This movie is so fucking good. Now, The Chair doesn't star him, the filmmaker, or his friend that's in a lot of his other sketches. Milk and Cereal, they are the two main characters. This movie is fucking brilliant. What do I hate the most about found footage movies? They don't follow their own rules. So this movie is about two YouTubers that are like a prank channel. They're like a fucking, I don't even know, like a fucking Logan Paul, Jake Paul, what they used to do back in, you know, the old days of YouTube. But they're a prank channel. And so they have a reason why the camera is always on, because these are YouTubers. They're looking for content. So every time the camera's on, it makes sense. Everything you're seeing as the viewer makes sense. And the idea of this movie is, and I don't want to give everything away, but one of these people isn't what they seem, and he's a fucking serial killer. And it is fucking amazing. And his performance, the Cullen Baker, his performance, he's the bad guy. His performance is so freaking good. And again, this was done on like nothing. They posted on their Twitter that they spent $500 to make this movie. And again, not feature length. It's 50 some minutes long. It's so well done, and it's so creepy, and it doesn't fall into a lot of the pitfalls that a lot of other kind of indie horror does, where it's like super violent or it's like crass or whatever. Like, this is just like a really, really well-made film. And I thought it was great. And like most movies that I really love, like as soon as the credits were rolling, I kept thinking about it. And I can't recommend it enough. Again, it's an hour of your time. Like, it's wonderful. Milk and Cereal, available for free on YouTube, and The Chair. Go watch both of them. 10 out of 10. Loved it. So yeah, that's all I watched. Are you guys still with us? Got very quiet.
Yeah, I'm here.
I died.
Oh, shit. But yeah, I can't recommend those two enough. And again, like, between the two of them, like, you can watch a normal feature-length film, because one's 23 minutes and one is 53 minutes. I think they're fantastic. I was blown away by Milk and Cereal. I thought The Chair was really good, but Milk and Cereal was, like, just... unbelievably good. Like, I don't know,
when you said the chair, all I could think of was that fucking Jay Duplass or Mark Duplass, the puffy chair. Do you remember that? Everybody was all fucking wet about those movies.
I hate
those shoegaze movies. Yeah.
The only thing I like about the Duplass brothers is the one is in the league. Yeah. People love the Creep movies, and I think they're all bad. And apparently they're making like a Creep TV show, and I'm like, oh god. Like,
a Creep show?
But I recommend those two movies. I loved them. Again, I'm always a little apprehensive, especially with stuff on TikTok that gets recommended, but now this is Milk and Cereal is worth the hype. It's so fucking good. I thought it was good. I hope this guy makes features. Like, I hope this gets enough buzz where he can make a feature, because like this guy, like, not because he wrote, directed, and starred in this movie, and he's got something. Like, he's definitely got something.
Zork.
It's the puzzle. I never said Zork. Yeah, I loved it. So anyway, let's get into Porco Rosso. Well, Goggs isn't here, so I can't ask what happened in this. Alex, what happened in this movie?
Oh God.
You don't have.
Who's the most Goggs like that isn't Goggs? Like, who falls into secondary? Me.
Yeah, you.
In what way?
You're gay.
No offense, Goggs, but like, how?
You're gay. Who's gay?
Shouldn't ask the question if you didn't want to know the answer.
That's true. I mean,
God, I hoisted on my own board. I'll take a spin.
All right, anyway, Porco Rosso is about this. It's like an alternate universe, World War One era. I guess I could say that, right? Like, it's like post World War. Well, they keep.
No, but is it an alternate universe, or is it just the guy's a pig for reasons that are never fully elaborated on?
Yeah, I think it's the same universe, just the guy's a pig.
Yeah, because Mussolini is probably there, because they definitely like make a weird reference to fascism out of left field.
There's plenty of references to fascism, and
one
of the pirates looks like Hitler. Like, I'm sorry, yeah. There's one of the pirates looks explicitly like Hitler. So Porco Rosso is a fighter pilot ace, and
he's like one of them shits where Snoopy pretends to fly his doghouse. He's one of those kind of guys.
Red Baron.
Yeah, Baron. Also, it's a good pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah. The best. Well, one of the
in
best.
In your face, pizza. Tony's.
Well, also, even his name is a play on like the Red Baron, right? Because it's
the crimson.
Red pig, right? Yeah. Like Porco Rosso. So he is like a World War One pilot ace or whatever, and he hunts pirates. Like, in this world, like, air pirates are like a thing. It's a
specifically seaplane air pirates.
Seaplane air pirates.
You know, it's got a lot of, I guess it probably came out about the same time, but it's got a lot of influence back and forth with, not DuckTales.
Tailspin. You're thinking about Tailspin, yes. Actually, yeah. This is very, very Tailspin.
Tailspin was all about airplane, seaplane pirates.
Yeah.
My old secretary told me that also, in Hungary, Tailspin was called Captain Baloo, and the theme song is hysterical, like in Hungarian.
That's awesome. What were you saying, Alan?
Nothing, I just grunted.
No, you said something before that, I thought.
Oh, no, I was going to expound about how great Tailspin was.
Everybody liked Tailspin.
I really liked when they would cross over all the afternoon shows. You'd have Tailspin and DuckTales and Darkwing Duck all show up in each other's shows.
What was that block called?
Never like Gargoyles.
Disney Adventures? No, I don't think it was called Never Gargoyles.
No, but never. Because Gargoyles was like the dark horse in that. Because they were in there too.
Yeah. Yeah, they weren't that, though. They weren't in that. The duck universe.
Yeah.
Shout out to Darkwing Duck, though. Let's get dangerous.
Darkwing Duck was the shit.
Oh, yeah, the best villain. The Liquidator. The dog made out of water.
What was the name of, like, the RoboCop duck and Darkwing Duck?
Oh, Gizmo fucking Gizmo Duck.
Gizmo Duck.
His real name was Fenton Crackshell. He was an autistic accountant who got a robot suit.
What is it with autistic accountants?
But anyway,
That's where they got the premise for the accountant from.
Like, why do the Beagle Boys wear their jail shit like all the time? Doesn't that make it like really obvious?
Right. Beagle Boys. But anyway, back to the movie. He's like an ace. He hunts pirates. He ends up like he goes back to this bar where he is. I'm really bad at this. I'm not as good as Gog. He ends up at this bar where like what's her name? Rita? What's the name of the older woman that's like in love with him, but like is a singer? I can't think of.
She's not older. She's just age appropriate.
She's the same age as Porco. Yeah.
Well, it's hard to
older,
tell.
Older than the child love interest is what I meant.
He goes to visit. Pig. Yeah, he goes to visit Isabella Rossellini in fucking Blue Velvet.
Yeah, so after that, like, I don't know. The movie is a little loose. Like, it's
the movie, this is the problem. Is like, I'll just put on Front Street. Maybe everybody can shout me down. I know he's a master, and the movie's beautiful. But this movie is less of a story and more of that Miyazaki wants you to know that he understands how airplane side sections look, and like he's really good at drawing airplanes. Like just like an excuse to animate planes, which is fine. I feel
like the plot is very, very like sparse. Like right, like so he goes. You find out that Porco Rosso used to be a man. Like they don't really. Like
now he was a dragon.
He's a pig.
He was a dragon man.
He's a pig. And then like at a certain point they show a picture and she's like, oh, why did you scratch your face out? So like he used to be a man, but now he's a pig. But someone even says that he's cursed. And also like I didn't explain. He's also like world renowned for being like the best pilot. And then at the bar, he meets this cocky, like, American pilot. Now, help me out with this, guys. He's an American, but, like, his patch on his jacket is French. Did anybody notice that? Like,
because he's supposed to be, like, Ronald Reagan, right? Like,
it's very confusing because, like,
for the French Legion or something?
I guess. But, yeah, he's definitely supposed to be Reagan because at the end of the movie, he's, like, an actor or whatever.
Yeah. But cowboy like, actor president.
But anyway, so they drum up kind of like a rivalry, but that kind of that like kind of like starts and then kind of comes back at the end, but there's not really a middle part to it. Like it's kind of weird. And then there's a moment in the middle where like his plane gets fucked up, Porco Rosso's plane gets fucked up, and he has to go get it fixed. So he goes to his mechanic guy in Naples? No, where is it in Italy?
Milan. He's excommunicated from Italy because he doesn't want to be a fascist, I think, or because he's a pig, or both.
Right, right. He's not supposed to be in Milan, but then he goes to his pirate, his engineer guy anyway, and his engineer guy's like, oh, I'm not going to do it, but I got this this girl that's like my understudy. And they go out of their way to say that girl is 17. And
they couldn't bump it up by 2 years and make it more comfortable for the rest of us.
With this movie
I can't
is that
deal with it.
It's Faye is 17 and everybody wants to fuck her. And it's weird as hell. And to the movie's credit, no one actually does fuck her. But it's like weird that she is so young. Faye is like or I think her name is Faye, right? It's Faye or Fi.
No,
or
she's not like a guy's name.
No,
isn't she?
No,
it's Faye.
I'm pretty sure it is, but I'll have to look it up. Alec, you're good with names. You don't remember her name.
I can't remember. I was barely paying attention. I'm not going to lie.
Wow. You love cartoons.
I do love cartoons. I don't like cartoons. I don't know. I didn't like this cartoon.
Fair. Yeah, her name is F-A-I. Bye, I guess. But anyway, she's like a dynamo like engineer. She's gonna like rebuild his plane or whatever. And then there is a challenge issued by the other pilot, the American guy, and then in between all that, you get this, I think the probably best scene in the entire movie, where Porco Rosso is explaining to her, Faye, about what happened with, you know, in the war or whatever. And there's this, I think it's the best scene in the movie.
Where he says, where, I'd rather be a pig than a fascist.
Well, no, I like that too. But no, I like the scene where it explains that he was in this dog fight where all his friends were dying and he flew away. Like he ran away from it. And then he went so far above the clouds where he saw this like continuum of like dead fighter pilots and didn't realize what he was saying. I don't know. I honestly, like, it got me. I thought that scene was like fucking beautiful. Like just the way it was animated and like the weight of like what he was saying. I don't know. Like, I don't think it redeems the movie, but I think that it's like a very well done scene. Well,
like, let me put this out there. Maybe I'm the only one that felt this way. I love Michael Keaton. There's nothing to do with him as an actor. I don't think his performance in this movie is good. Like, it feels like he's just reading, and maybe it's like because he doesn't do voice acting regularly, but it's a very like
bored
performance. Do you know what I mean? Like,
very, it's very Harrison Ford Blade Runner voiceover performance.
Yeah, it's not good. Okay, cool. Because that really kind of took me out of it.
I almost kind of wanted to, after watching it, I wanted to watch the Japanese version to see if I felt any different. Because again, like it is, I but maybe not, because I feel like, again, like I really like that scene, really worked for me. I thought that scene was excellent. But anyway, after that, they finally have the big showdown between him and the like cocky American pilot, and the again, I am not Gogs, I am really bad at summarizing these things.
This is brutal.
Well, I wasn't fucking prepared to do this either. This was fucking like, oh, we got something to do on Labor Day. Like, fuck, it's a holiday. What the fuck you have to do? But anyway, so they have.
Okay, so they set up stakes where fucking Porco Rosso has to beat the American guy, and the American guy will pay off all his debts, or the American guy gets to marry the child, which everybody's excited about.
Everybody wants to marry the child, dude. Like, it's fucking weird, dude.
They have a dogfight, and Porco Rosso has too much honor to shoot him in the cockpit. So yeah,
he has multiple times where he could just kill the guy, but he won't shoot another pilot. Like, he's waiting to shoot the plane to just disable him so he just crashes.
So they have a comical fist fight, which is kind of my favorite part of the movie, to be honest.
Then both of their guns jam, which was weird.
Because he's got to get to the fist fight. And I guess watching them run out of gas in real time is even less exciting than what's actually going on. So they're down in the fist fight, and then Ronald Reagan reveals to the pig that the Isabella Rossellini loves him and is waiting for him. And he's like, she doesn't want me.
Really underdeveloped. Like, I don't
know why it's in there, to be honest.
Yeah, I didn't really get that.
And so they punch each other for a while, and then Ronald Reagan becomes a Hollywood actor. The girl becomes the head of Boeing, and she still goes to visit Isabella Rossellini, and then you're led to believe that the pig lives in her backyard, or maybe he doesn't. Who cares?
That's the movie. Well, you're also led to believe that after that fight that he turned back to human, because the American guy's like, let me see your face. And he's like covering his, you don't see it, but he's like, let me see your face. Wait a minute. And it's I forgot to mention. So like way, way back when Faye was talking to Porco Rosso about the curse, she's like, well, maybe I can just kiss you and you will turn back into a human. Cause that's what happens in the fairy tales. Well, at the very end of the movie, Faye kisses him as she like flies off with Isabella Rossellini, and then it's implied that he does turn back into a human, which a story implication is like, again,
but she also kissed him, or well, she kissed him on the cheek, but
it's not like a sexual to the movie's credit, Porco Rosso never wants to fuck the child. Like, he always,
I don't believe that. Like, I think really? He just doesn't. Yeah, like there's all the banter about the size of her ass, and then he's like trying not to look at her in the lake. I think he wants to fuck her, he just doesn't because it's like gross.
But I don't know. I didn't take it that way, but Alec, maybe you're right.
Alec, weigh in on this, please. Or were you even paying attention at this point?
No, I was not paying attention.
Okay, fair.
Wow.
I was half kind of listening to it, and I heard all the like comments about her You're a huge ass. Like, which is, like, I don't.
And, like, maybe this is a Miyazaki.
It's like, I don't know. I haven't seen enough animes, and especially this type of anime, which is not crazy, like, insane. I mean, there's not, like, monsters and, like, fighting demons and death and stuff like that. Like, is it all meant to be, like, tongue-in-cheek, just kind of, like, cutesy funny? But I think I agree with what you guys said about Michael Keaton. Like, his performance is very even and kind of flat. So you don't get any, like, jokiness out of it, or, like, I don't know. It's hard to describe. And also, it was not a... Yeah, it could barely hold my attention.
Yeah. And, like, the character model for her is kind of a problem for me, because, and I know this is kind of a Miyazaki thing, but, like, she's drawn like a child. Like, she looks like, I know she is a child.
100%.
But, like, she's drawn like an 11-year-old child. You know what I mean? Like, she looks like a little ass kid. And that makes the implications even worse. I don't know if he's just making fun of Europeans, or he's just a horny old pervert, because I think the age of consent in Japan at the time was like 13. So he probably didn't think there's anything wrong with it.
It's the biggest problem in the movie, right? Like, it's weird. And it like is distractingly weird. It's
so much of the middle of the movie, though.
Yeah, I know.
And kind of the end.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, it's tough. It's tough. And that, even like the fucking the American guy, right? Like, he's like so desperate to like get with her. And then at the end, he's like, you know, well, I'll just ask you, like, anyway. Like, it's like, like, this is fucking weird.
Well, like, they didn't invent the consent yet.
Well, I mean, yeah. But, like, it's fucking weird. And it, again, like, I think, like, and I'm not, and now, just to be clear, like, Studio Ghibli is like an island outside of anime. Like, it's its own thing. Like, it is anime, but, like, you can't compare a Studio Ghibli to, like, Evangelion or something. Yeah. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's, like, art house anime. Like, it's, like, the real, like, cinema anime. It's Kino,
is usually
right?
The anime that people that don't like anime like. Like, that's kind of how I describe it. Like, it is, like, the Walt Disney of, like, anime. Like, it is held to a higher standard than most regular anime. I'll put it that way. I just felt like the movie was just like not cohesive, like at all. Like,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you're fine.
I was gonna say, it's meant to be like evocative of like both like those old like World War One kind of plane serials, which not really my interest, and like kind of old cartoons, which also not really my interest. So like I think it's shit that he's interested in, you know. This feels a lot of like, this is shit I like, and I'm just gonna put it on there. Although I've seen pages from the manga he did, and they're beautiful, but like,
well, I felt the animation was incredible. Animation is unbelievable. Like, I think that some of the sequences, like the way it's animated, is
it is the peak amazing. Of like hand drawn like, animation. Like, it's, you can't so do good. Better.
And all the like mechanical parts, and when he's like trying to rev that second engine, like all that shit looks so good. But like, it's just the story to pull it together doesn't work. And again, like the scene I really liked, I think I responded to how it looked in the animation and like the fucking clouds and how they were like, like draping away off the planes, and then the other planes are ascending, and then they go into that like airstream of heaven. Like, that shit just looks so good.
You
like,
make a boring plane anime. Like, what's the Wings Over Honan? I can't pronounce. You know what I'm talking about, though. The Wings Over.
That movie's great.
What I'm saying. And that's like a boring plane movie, but this is like, it just fails to land kind of anywhere. Like, it's just like, you know, if you don't want to explain the curse and why he's a pig, that's fine, but don't like talk about it constantly. You know what I mean? Just, you know what I'm saying?
It
like,
it seems very unsatisfying. Like that. They don't I thought there was going to, I mean, I'm sure we all did, but I thought there was going to be a scene explaining why he was cursed.
Yeah.
Like, or what Because, like, I guess he's cursed because he's a coward, but he's not really a coward. He was just, like, trying to save his, like, I don't know. Like, he was horny? Supposed to die, like, with his friends. Kind of, like, it was very odd. The pig part, honestly, the pig part doesn't work. Like, it doesn't make any sense.
Well, but I'm saying, like, if you hadn't mentioned it at all and he was just a pig man, like, and nobody talked about it, it's fine. Like, yeah, I'm good. Roll with it. I don't care.
Yeah,
this movie reminds me a lot of TJ. I think you might appreciate this. Is another like anime master, Tomo, when he made Steam Boy, which is a movie that is also beautiful that I want to like, but I find like this boring and doesn't hold my interest at all.
You know, it's a really good, like, lesser known Tomo film. It's called Spriggan. It's fucking ridiculous. It's an action movie that he uses like rotoscoping in. It's fucking wild. But yeah, no, Steam Boy is not very good. Yeah, I'm not a big fan of that one. I did like his Metropolis anime, which is literally his description was, I'd never seen the silent film. I just read about it. So I made a movie based on what I read about Metropolis, which is kind of fucking awesome.
Based.
all right. Five Knuckle Shuffles, I guess. Oh, shit. Stop. No.
Oh, what was Alec's favorite part?
Yes. Alec, was your favorite part the pig man?
Yeah.
Yes, damn it.
Yeah, I want to see a full movie full of those pig men.
Pig men.
Design.
Yeah. Design was great.
Just a bunch of pig men doing pig man things. Not hitting on children.
Like, why did you have to say she was 17? Why not just 20 years old?
You couldn't even squeak out 18. You know what I mean? Yeah. Which is still kind of like, but like, all right.
No, they explicitly say she's 17.
Yeah.
And Kip Winger was like, yes.
Fuck, you beat me to it.
All right. Five knuckle shuffle time, everybody.
I'm going to give it a 3.
Oof.
Ow. Like, the animation was good, and, like, it was short.
Yeah, it wasn't that long.
But, man, it was pretty boring. And it was confusing, too. It was confusing and boring, which...
In our parlance, that's very hard to do.
Yeah, those are rules that shouldn't be... Shouldn't be contrary to each other. It's confusing or boring, but man, this one pulled it off. Maybe I should give it a point bump for that. But no, it's a 3. I did not enjoy it. Did not like it. Fuck you, Studio Ghibli. You suck.
Damn.
Burnt.
0-1, Studio Ghibli. 0-1.
You should watch, like, Ponyo or Princess Mononoke.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure some of those are a lot better.
Like Sean said, Kiki's Delivery Service is excellent.
I think you'd like that. Like, it's very cute. And it has a point.
My Neighbor Totoro.
Yeah. I've heard nothing Spirited but good Away things. Is great. I've heard nothing but good things about Studio Ghibli. But this is also all those movies you just mentioned. I've heard mentioned hundreds of times. I've never heard of Porco Rosso until
this is why
until this week. And like, even every time I search for it, I type it wrong because I could barely remember the name of it.
I typed it PORK-O Porco.
So 3. Oh,
that's me. God, man, like, I hate to do this, but this is like a 5. The animation's wonderful, but like, I'm not gonna give him shit for that because that's the expectation for him in these movies. Like, I feel like it's like you're dating somebody that just got into motorcycles or something and they can't stop fucking talking about it and showing you everything on their phone, you know what I'm saying? Like, with no context.
Like somebody new to like CrossFit.
Yeah, like that. And it's just like, all right, man, we get it. You like fucking biplanes. Because he has another biplane movie, too. It's like The Wind Below or some shit. Like, he loves that shit. And that's cool. I'm glad old man likes stuff. And he hates cars in America, which he said before, which is kind of based. I don't mind that. But like,
he needs most to make an animated movie called Biplanes. That's from that Disney property, Planes, and they're all bi.
Yeah.
If he had any balls. Balls at all. He's in Japan. They don't have copyright laws over there. Do whatever you want.
Yeah, it's like the Mexico of the East. But like, most of his movies have like a theme and a message or something. And like, your mileage may vary with message movies. But like, there's nothing here. There's nothing to really grab onto. And
to understand what the message was here.
And maybe it's part of the performance with Michael Keaton is just like, I'm glad, like, I thought I was going to be on an island with this, because, like, I don't know if he's trying to do, like, a Sam Spade kind of detective thing, even though it's not that. But it's just really, really, really fucking flat and, like, creepy.
I can't remember the movie, but it was something with Harrison Ford. And I remember we kept listening to that clip where he was like, part-time.
That's
Indiana Jones.
Crystal Skull.
Yeah.
Yeah, it reminded me of that. His voice doesn't go up or down through the whole thing, but I don't think it's for the movie. I just think he just didn't give a shit.
Yeah, you're a pig man? Part-time.
Pig man.
Yeah, I didn't like the movie, and I wanted to, and I'm kind of disappointed. But it's one of those, like, check-it-off-the-list movies, I guess. Like, I got that when I saw it. Because it was a movie.
Finally saw this. The animated Pigman pilot movie. Finally got that one checked off.
I should have picked Wild Hogs, but like, I don't know. Like, this is a movie that is held in high regard in like fucking film dork circles, and like, just goes to show why those guys don't get pussy all the time. Because like, oh, could you imagine making some date sit down and watch this? Because you know that's happened. Like, oh, pass. Oh,
Lord, no.
Yeah.
And I've made women watch just
the Cabinet horrendous. Of Dr. Caligari.
No, I've never done that. I do own it on Blu-ray, though.
Come on, baby, sit down and watch Wavelength with me. It's not really a movie. It's just your reaction to the movie is what's important.
Let me read Infinite Jest to you while you go to sleep.
TJ.
It's like a 6 for me, dog. I agree, the movie is not very good, but I just have to give the points to the animation. It's above a 5 because, like, I was really captivated by the animation. I think the animation is amazing, and I, like, whereas I agree that the story is lacking, like, visually, it's, like, it's just very, very well done, and that kept me interested. Like, I don't know, it's a movie you can watch on mute, right? Because, like, when they're doing all the acrobatic stuff with the planes, like, that dogfight before they get to, like, the heaven scene, I mean, it's amazing. Like, you got all this, like, it's just on a technical level. Again, all that's just hand-drawn. Like, I find that compelling. Like, again, I don't think it's a very good movie because, like Sean mentioned before, Miyazaki usually has something to say with his movies, and I don't think there's anything to say here. And, you know, again,
the shit he has to say is disgusting.
Well, as the fucking preeminent fucking anime expert here, like, yeah, fucking underage kids is like a big problem in anime. I mentioned my favorite anime is
Legend of the Overfiend.
Evangelion. I've talked about it on the show 1,000 times, but the kids are kids in that show. And,
well,
yeah, the fandom.
Masako.
No, Masato. But she's older. But, like, well, she doesn't actually ever fuck Shinji. And to the fucking anime's credit, don't get me started. The fucking scene that everybody gets mad about her telling her, it's like kissing Shinji and saying, you'll get the rest later. She's about to die. And the whole world is about to end. Like, literally, she's only saying this in the context of knowing that everything is... She's literally fatally wounded when she says that. Anyway, that shit bothers the hell out of me. Like, oh, Masato's a pedophile. No, she's not.
I don't know. When she invites him into her apartment with all the beers everywhere in the beginning, she's got kind of pedo vibe. Anyway.
But she doesn't. Nah,
I know.
Masato is not a pedophile. Anyway. It's such an annoying. It's so annoying to watch because, like, I see that all the time. And then, anyway, but that show again, Rey and Asuka are both 15 canonically, and the show and more the fandom sexualize them like crazy. But the show does it too, and it's not great, and it's a problem with anime in general. There is way worse examples. But, like, it's a problem, and it's a problem in this movie, and it's like Sean said and Alex said, it's very distracting because there's not much else in this movie, but they keep talking about the underage girl that everybody wants to fuck, and it's gross, and I don't like it, and it's a problem. Again, if I could focus on anything else in the movie, like, story-wise, it wouldn't be that big a deal. But the fact that it keeps coming back to it, it's like, okay, guys, like, hey, pump the brakes.
The whole third act hinges on a guy wanting to fuck a child.
Yes. Yes. It's, yeah, I don't know. Again, though, like, the animation is amazing. It's fantastic. I understand why people hold them in such high regard. The animation is just unparalleled. Like, it's so well done. But the movie is a fucking mess. Like, narratively, the movie is a mess. And I don't, after watching it, you're just like, well, why did I even watch that? Right. Cause, like, you know, again, I thought the pig thing was going to lead to some sort of something, like some sort of narrative through line, maybe through the movie or some kind of meditation on,
or it's an allegory for anything.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, an allegory, a meditation on war, maybe, because again, this is taking place in like the 1920s, like post World War One, pre-World War II. Like, I thought it was going to be about that. And I just don't, I'm left feeling like, what was this about? And I don't really know. I don't have a good answer for you. And, you know, it's like, you know, trying to go through this plot, it's tough because there's not much there, you know? So it's not like this easy through line. So it's complicated. I don't think this movie is very good, but I can't give this thing a 5 or below because I think it's made so well. So yeah, so that's me. What's next week, everybody? We're into Stoptember. So stop motion films.
Next week. Yes. Yes.
I have a pick. Or go ahead, Alec.
I got one.
Awesome.
It's called, hold on a second, let me make sure I get the name right. Mary and Max.
Mary and Max. Not familiar.
Yep. Well, you will be.
Mary and Max. All right.
All right.
Anybody, when did it come out?
2009.
Okay. Semi-recent. The poster looks really cool.
I saw it a long time ago.
Oh, you've seen it already. Okay.
The animation style looks fucking cool. All right, I'm in.
All right.
It's Australian, so they'll have hilarious accents. They'll say nar.
Hello.
Hello. Nar. 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 Also, like, I think I changed my pick already.
Coraline, right?
Coraline or Kubo and the Two Strings, but now there's this movie that, okay, I'm going to take you guys way back. There used to be this anime company called Manga Entertainment, which is...
Yes, they had the big crucifix as the fucking logo for some reason.
And they put out Ninja Scroll, and they put out, like, yeah. Macross Plus. They put out... So anyway, they had a stop-motion movie called The Adventures of Tom Thumb that I've been wanting to watch for 30 years. And that's going to be my pick. I got to find it first. So hopefully by the time my chance comes around, I will find it. But I'm going to watch that because that is my pick. Because I've been thinking about that movie since I was a child and I've been meaning to watch it. So yeah. So now Coraline is up in the air. So I'm sure
we'll I might change it. Yeah.
It's a good one. All right. So next week, new theme, new us. Football season will be here.
We'll be talking about football for no reason in the middle of the show.
Football. Well, yeah. Well, the Ravens will be good. The Packers will be good. My Commanders will be trash.
I got hopes. I got high hopes. They got a couple decent. Why did they trade Dotson, though?
I don't know. I think because they thought they were going to get Brandon Ayuk, and that didn't work out. So good job, guys. Yeah. way to start off. New ownership, new management.
I got rid of my car because I thought I was going to date Rosario Dawson.
Terrible. I hated it. And they didn't get fucking anything for him. But hey, it's football, the podcast, everybody.
Yeah, but at least he went to division rivals, so that's fun.
Right. We'll get to see him twice a year. Football, the podcast. All right, everybody. That's the show. Right. See you next week. I'm going to go eat some chili. Bye-bye.
Later, dudes.
Bye, guys. Do I have to hit stop recording? I do.
I think so. That'll just keep recording.